You're listening to Sister Stargazers, celestial and terrestrial observations and advice from two real-life sisters.
Welcome, fellow stargazers. Your sisters are in the house. Hello, Jude.
Hey, Sarah. How's it going?
I think it's going pretty good.
I'm happy to be here.
Oh, my gosh. Siri's back. We know you're happy to be here, Siri. Oh, my goodness.
How odd. Siri's our happy android in the house.
But we were marveling that we're at episode 40 here in mid-June. This is for the week of Sunday, June 12th through Saturday, June 18th. And we've been talking off mic about some really powerful, interesting aspects. And what should we start with?
Well, we can just acknowledge that this is going to be a full moon week.
Moon.
And many of the aspects of the full moon have already been in play the week before. For example, right. Mercury trine Pluto. So any disclosures or reveals or new information that might have come up because Mercury's now direct will play into this full moon. Right. And also Venus conjunct
Uranus.
Yeah. So any surprises that happened last week, you know, concerning love, money, value, anything along those lines, even new inventions concerning farming or our resources of the earth, anything like that might have been news or newsworthy or may flavor this full moon because those aspects are still in play.
Right.
And the day before, on the 13th, we have Mercury moving into Gemini. So it's much more conversational.
Right.
A lot more information. So at the time of this full moon, Mercury will be at 0 degrees Gemini. So books, letters, magazines, emails, podcasts, the media, computers, anything that brings knowledge is going to be highlighted around the time of this full moon. There's also some really great aspects that I thought we'd mention mm-hmm. as the week rolls out. So just to move ahead a little bit to Thursday, the sun trines Saturn.
Yeah.
And the sun squares Neptune. So these are two aspects that also figure into the full moon, but they'll be approaching at the time of the full moon and they'll be exact as the week rolls out. And then at the end of the week on the 18th, on Saturday the 18th, there's the beginning of some really great visual astrology that you can see in the pre-dawn sky with over the course of the remaining month of June, we'll be able to see all the seven visible planets
okay.
kind of roll out in the morning, early morning sky. So it starts with Mercury, Venus, the Pleiades, and then it progresses to Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn. So it's going to be a really beautiful time to be up early.
Yeah. Pre-dawn hours in the eastern and southeastern skies. It was beginning rolling out on the 10th, but we're really going to have more activity 16th, 17th, 18th. I'll put a link to Earth Sky down below.
Yeah, that's great. So just looking at this full moon, we were going back and forth about some of the aspects. And as we were talking about it, Sarah said, well, you know, this full moon is in the same position as the full moon back in December.
Yeah.
Only the sun at that time was in Sagittarius and the moon was in Gemini. And now, on the 14th of June, the sun is in Gemini and the moon is in Sagittarius.
Yes.
The moon is only 4 degrees away from the galactic center, which is this rotational center of the Milky Way. It's the giant black hole of 4 million solar masses. It's a central massive object and a supermassive black hole.
Yeah.
And it's called Sagittarius A. It's also a compact radio source, which is why it's partly so significant, as well as being the center of the galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, the galactic center. It's this emanator of radio signals.
Mm.
So, you know, at the time of this full moon, we'll be aligned basically. So there'll be the galactic center out there in Sagittarius. The galactic center is out at 27 degrees Sagittarius.
Right.
And then, you know, disregarding all of the other planets
right.
in between the galactic center and the moon,
yep.
there'll be a lineup between the galactic center, and then our moon, and then our Earth, and then our sun will be in alignment, And you know what that means from yoga or from even from sitting in a chair, from all the chair sitting we've been doing in the last 2 years, you know, align your shoulders to your hips, to your knees, you know. So there's this straightness about that. There's this unfolding about that. So whatever is out there at that time of this full moon at 7:52 in the morning of June 14th, this is Eastern time in North America, whatever's out there is broadcasting. And if we pull up our antenna, if we just be sitting and aligned with that, we might be able to pick up some information because because the sun's in Gemini and the moon's in Sagittarius, and we might be able to pick up some information that we can use.
Yeah.
There's something really special about this particular lunation, this full moon, that you can also use as a kind of a springboard, both forward and back. So go back to December 18th, 2021, and look at where you were.
Right.
And look at what kind of information you were processing.
Yeah. And we're talking specifically about December 18th, 2021, because when you mentioned galactic center, I thought, wait a minute, we've had a full moon with the galactic center before, which was 6 months ago. And I pulled up that episode. And just to kind of give some context, the sun and the moon were in opposite signs than they are now. So the sun was in Sagittarius, the moon was in Gemini, but they were conjunct again, the galactic center. So when we're talking about going back to December, what you're bringing up now about that time back there, comparing it or reflecting it to this time now, because it's a similar alignment.
Yeah, you can compare and contrast, right? You can also look at what you were thinking about doing then, or what information you were picking up. Like maybe it was about how you needed to change somehow, how you needed to reorient, because that lunation was also really close to the solstice,
right?
How you needed to orient to a new season,
right? Yeah.
What plan or what information do you need to make the next steps?
Well, I love how you shared that Gemini, the sign of Gemini, is about kind of collecting and gathering information, and Sagittarius is about applying that information into knowledge to make a plan. So it seems like a perfect partnership of gathering and applying.
Right. And then also like aligning, because we have this additional source.
Yeah.
In December, the sun was aligned with the galactic center. Our consciousness was aligning with the galactic center.
Right.
And now our unconscious is aligning with the galactic center. So
the moon.
Yes. So the moon is in alignment with the galactic center at this lunation. So it's really kind of asking us, what have we done in the last 6 months to move ourselves forward? And are we moving in a direction that brings us more joy? And I think that's also what Venus conjunct Uranus is about.
Right.
In Taurus, you know, what brings us more joy? What brings us more health, more wealth, more fulfillment?
Yeah.
And as the Venus moves through Taurus, right, she's also, and we talked about this last episode, she's aligning with Pallas Athene, and then she's aligning with the North Node.
Right.
So Venus is the mover and shaker here. She's hitting on all of these archetypal principles of our dedication, our strategy, and our evolutionary focus in Taurus, North Node in Taurus, which were part of the last lunation, right?
Right, yeah.
So we're really working with a lot of principles here. There is a cautionary note.
Yes, let's segue to the cautionary note of this week. Go for it.
So the cautionary note is Mars is moving through Aries and was last, you know, the a lot of damage that he did when he moved over Jupiter through the Aries point.
Yep.
That was the weekend of so many, across the country, so many shootings. I mean, it was just crazy alignment there.
Yeah.
But Mars in Aries is very activating, we could say. You know, it's a short fuse, we could say, you know. And now Mars is meeting up with Chiron in Aries. And Chiron in Aries is about a healing for and of the self.
Yeah.
And it can also be a wounding of the self. So self-crimination, self-affliction, passive-aggressive projection, really full-on projection. Like, I didn't do that. You did it. It's like, no, clearly you did it. No, you did it. Again, not taking responsibility. Mars is kind of ready to just jump and push outwardly. His anger, his lack of center, basically.
Yeah.
And Chiron is, you know, that can be either healing if we take the responsibility for ourselves
and
look at it fully and integrate it. That can be healing, or it can be wounding if we're pushing it out there in the world.
Yeah.
It's making a semi-sextile to Uranus and
Juno.
Juno, yes, yes.
Yep.
Yeah, the asteroid goddess of partnership. So we might be looking at our partners and taking things out on them as well as ourselves, or projecting things onto others.
Yep.
Mars with semi-sextile to Uranus, which can be brilliant.
Yeah.
It can take all of the fire and the energy of Uranus and just...
Yeah, do good work.
Do good work, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Or it can, you know, it can kind of be a simmering boil that just doesn't move very far out of the pan, or you know, it catches the house on fire.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that kind of thing.
You mentioned it was also square to Ceres.
Yes. Ceres is the asteroid goddess of harvest and grain. And she's also about grief and the process of recovery from grief and recovery from the grieving of death.
Yeah.
So there might be issues around, you know, how do we go forward?
Yeah. Moving towards healing. I think that's the big piece here, is moving towards healing. And the other thing I was going to say is that when we talk about these aspects, you've always mentioned, you know, them being multivariant and that there can be multiple modes of expression. So the cautionary note we wanted to offer is to be conscious of what you're angry about, to be able to take ownership of what could be activating or what could come up, to take ownership of it, and then to begin the process of it so that you can use it in a transforming way.
Right. For good, for healing.
Towards love. Yeah.
That's the highest expression.
Yeah.
And with Venus conjunct Uranus, you know, that's also a high expression of this.
Yeah.
We wanted to also mention the Sagittarius 24 degree, which is...
Oh, yes. The Sabian symbol. Right.
That's where the moon is, the Sabian symbol. So it's the image is a bluebird perched on the gate of a cottage. And the keynote is the reward which meets every effort at integration into a social environment for those who remain true to their own selves. So I was seeing that as part of what Aries can offer, Chiron in Aries.
Yes.
Being true to yourself. And the integration would be where the moon is, aligning with that galactic center,
yes,
integrating the larger picture, the bigger, broader, for the good of all kind of environment that we want to foster.
Yeah.
The keynote that Dane Rudyard is a short paragraph.
Yes, please.
The bluebird is a well-known symbol of happiness, but also it refers to what one might call a spiritually oriented mind, to which the color blue relates, especially when a bird is mentioned. A cottage is normally part of a community, and the implication is that its inhabitants are well adapted either to the life of the community or to their more or less isolated togetherness. And it suggests that the essential technique for successful living is the development of a consciousness in which peace and happiness dwell. There's also a hint that good fortune is to bless your life.
I mean, I take away from that, between the spiritually oriented mind and the development of consciousness is how we're going to be able to transform whatever negative or triggering actions in this Mars Aries conjunct Chiron wounded warrior energy to be for the benefit of yourself and for others, that it doesn't have to be a destructive force. It can be actually a transformative force, which, if I could segue then to the cards this week, two tarot cards fell out. And then shout out to my friend Kim out in Oregon, who inspired me to get a new deck, an oracle deck called the Divine Feminine. But to start, the tarot, the Page of Cups has come up before for us. Remember, too, there's a fish coming out of the Page of Cups cup.
Right. The fish is rising up out of the cup. You know, the cup is a container for water, which is the emotion. So I've always seen that card of the rising of the emotion. And it's almost like, you know, catching it, you know, like you catch an emotional it just kind of comes up, you know, it's like an emotion. So at the time of this lunation, this full moon, emotions may arise. And they often do. I mean, first responders know that full moons are the worst, you know, in terms of all kinds of emergencies and that kind of thing. Mm. So this fish coming out of the, you know, kind of jumping out of the cup in the traditional Rider-Waite is the emotion rising to meet you rather than you needing to go down into the emotion. The emotion will rise. And what you need to do is just be mindful of it. To watch it, to catch it.
Yes.
And that can also, you know, reflect on that Mars Chiron conjunction so that you can catch that emotion coming up and you can say, okay, a little emotion, you know, you don't have to go there. And
yeah, you can work with it to transform.
Exactly. It's that page is the beginning of working with the emotion.
Awesome. The other card that came up was the Nine of Wands when I was like, what is this? And you were immediately, oh, well, that's Chiron, because it literally is a wounded warrior taking a break. So taking a break, taking a pause, looking around, assessing what the situation is so that you can probably use the Page of Cups energy to give it some thought, give it some attention.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, all those wands are also like they're all lined up behind this person. And this person is just like all bandaged and like so weary with holding on to this one wand. It's just like, whoa, all these issues, man. These issues, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, and they're all lined up behind this person, all these issues. What do I do with all these issues?
Yeah.
And there's a lack of creativity in that card. It's just so, it's weary. It's worn out.
Yeah, for sure.
That's a caution as well. Yeah, I totally saw that as being Chiron. It's just like you are exhausted. You know, go lie down. And that could be also just something that you need to do more of
right.
at this time. And for these couple of days before the full moon and after the full moon, you know, just rest.
Yes.
That's also really good.
Yes. Then this last card that we just want to end on a high note, a positive note, which is from this Divine Feminine Oracle deck by Megan Watterson, and it's Mirabai. And this deck describes her as the saint of true freedom. And what we're taking away from Mirabai is whatever comes at you, using the power of your soul, the power of your truth to transform it into something good. I was asking Jude, like, what can we offer people this week when this energy, this kind of negative or yucky anger energy can come up? And it's when you can remain true to yourself or maybe do that self-evaluation, you can actually use the energy to transform it into something powerful and good, which is what Mirabai did in her story. She was sent a snake and she turned it into a flower garland. She turned it into an ornament.
She wasn't a good girl, you know, like she didn't do like what.
That's right.
She was married. She left her husband. She left her in-laws.
Yeah.
She went to be a devotional.
Yes. To pursue spirituality.
Yeah.
And write poems.
On her own.
On her own.
With no support. So she followed her heart,
yeah.
Went to a cave, you know, wrote poetry yeah. for the rest of her life. And her in-laws were so upset with her. They sent her a snake. And she's like, well, you know, I'll show you, you know.
Thanks. Thanks for the snake.
I don't need your venom. I'll take your snake and turn it into a necklace.
Yeah.
I'll wear your snake too. So she turned the snake into a necklace. So the idea is that you can turn the venomous poison that's either coming at you or that's arising within you. You can turn it into a garland. You know, you can turn it into something beautiful.
You're so articulate and awesome. I love your interpretation.
Oh, thank you. But that's
No, you're so spot on. Well, we're wishing everyone an awesome week of transformation. And to remind everyone that you can also hear us live on Monday nights now at 7 p.m. on WMPG.org. You can listen live from anywhere in the world, 7 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, we are so excited to welcome all our callers and listeners to just dial in. Do we have that number?
It's a 207-780-409-4090. Oh, now I'm going to have to, hold on. Wait, where is it? Hold on. I can edit this in.
207-780-4909.
4909. Okay.
207-4909.
207-780-4909. Yeah. Tune in. We'd love to hear from you. It's going to be a really great venture. So that's another way you can hear Sister Stargazers. Don't forget to like, subscribe, share. We're so excited to bring you this information. So that's all for this episode. All right, everybody, have a fantastic week.
Be kind. Be kind.
Bye for now.
Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to Sister Stargazers. Let us know what worked for you this week. Find us on Facebook and post a comment at Sister Stargazers.